You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
To go tonight without saying a meaningful word about the riots, about the police officers being murdered, it's an example of how the Democratic Party, they're getting more and more extreme. And it's all because they hate Donald Trump. That's what they stand for, is radical leftism and hating Trump. I don't think that's a majority vision in America.
August the 18th, 2020, those are the words of Senator Ted Cruz, his view of the opening night of the Democrat convention last night. A viral event in the sense that it had to be virtual video because they could not all come together. We're going to break it down for you as we move forward. But what he pointed out in that opening remark, no relevant remarks about the rioting in our streets. Nothing to condemn such violence in our streets. I'm not talking about peaceful protest. I'm talking about riots. Arson, attacking police, injuring innocent civilians, destroying businesses. Again from the mainstream media and with the left, if we don't mention it, it didn't happen. Or when we do mention it, we'll mention it in the way we choose. We will spin it. We will tell you how you should see it. I'm going to ask you a question. You want to be honest with me? Here's a question. Did you watch the Democrat National Convention last night? Come on, raise your hand if you did. Come on. Did you watch part of it? I didn't watch it either. I figured I could get what I needed today by going through some reviews, which I did. But what stood out? What stood out is the comparison of the opening night of this convention to compared to when Hillary Clinton in 2016 was at her convention. Do you remember that convention and the issue about American flags, how there were no American flags present or very few or so far off stage? I mean, they just did not exist. They did not want to make a big deal about the American flag until the flags started, and then suddenly flags popped up like weeds in a garden. Last night, they draped everything with a flag. I mean, they want you to know they love this flag. That is contrary to everything they've been peddling. And the national anthem. A beautiful rendition of the national anthem. These folks don't like our national anthem. It's racist. We've been told that by the left. That's why Kaepernick and others are on their knee. They will not stand for the national anthem. They will not respect the flag. They're going to do what they want to. And yet, last night, you would have thought you're in the Twilight Zone. This is not the Democrat Party of today. It wasn't even the party of 2016. You can go back to JFK days, and you're pretty close to it. And they also had a Christian prayer. A Christian prayer and the name of Jesus was spoken at the Democrat National Convention last night. There, I think we could well be close to the second coming at this point. If they're beginning to think they got to put that in, but they did it to pander. You know they did that. Michelle Obama, featured speaker last night, and of course, rave reviews from those on the left, and even some at Fox News Channel. I'll share that with you. Even as she told lies about the Trump administration. And former Ohio Governor Kasich, who claims to be a Republican. He insists Joe Biden will not be pushed around. He is his own man. Really? We know better. Christopher Bedford will be joining us later. He's with a Federalist. And he says this event last night falls flat. We'll get into his remarks a little bit later as well. And then, of course, the scam over the need for everyone to vote by mail. The scam is exposed. and the real intent is exposed. We know what they're doing. If you can go to the store and shop, if you can go to your pharmacy and pick up your drugs, if you can go stop at a service station and get gasoline, if you can riot and protest in the streets, you can vote in person. But they would have you believe everybody's going to stay inside and use mail-in ballots, and Trump is trying to sabotage that. We'll break it down for you over the next 2 hours. And I got some things to say about last night that might anger some. I don't care, because I refuse to let this Democrat charade go unchallenged. We got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Good evening. I'm Eva Longoria Baston, and welcome to the 2020 Democratic National Convention, Uniting America. Every 4 years, we come together to reaffirm our democracy. This year, we've come to save it. It's going to take all of us. So tonight, we stand together, united by the values we cherish: decency, respect, justice, and the opportunity to rise up. We always hear that line about this being the most important election of our lifetimes, but this year, it really is.
And so the Democrat convention opened last night. During their virtual display, going to different locations for different speakers, and a lot of it pre-produced, pre-taped. I mean, it's nighttime, and at one point you see somebody standing in Florida in the bright sunshine when it's already dark on the East Coast. So, you know, it's all a lot of it pre-taped. They wanted to have a slick Hollywood-type production, and that's why they also had Hollywood Star begin the program for them. There was Eva, looking fabulous. And the words she said, yes, I accept all the words. This is what we want in our country, but it's not going to come from the Democrats. And she did say something else, which I've said that I agree with wholeheartedly, and the words have even been spoken by Kamala Harris. This is the most important election of your life at this point. It really is. The 2016 election against Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump was a battle, and it was important. And, of course, if Trump had not won, we would not have seen everything that went on behind the scenes to basically carry out a coup against the winner of the presidency and to remove a duly elected president. We would not have seen any of that because Hillary would have been in, and all the sins and past of Hillary and everyone connected to her would have been covered over, sealed, put away, put in a time capsule that will never be open. But she didn't win. Trump won. And immediately, that very night, the resist movement started. I've told you repeatedly that normally, when a new president comes into office, there's a honeymoon period, a grace period. I mean, you kind of accept, even if it's the candidate you didn't want, that they're going to have some time to kind of get their feet on the ground and see really what's realistic and what they thought they could do and realize what they can't do and the various issues they face and the heavy, heavy weight of that office. And it ages. It ages people, every man that's held it. Obama did not look anywhere like he did 8 years before when he came to leave. Still fit, but a lot of gray hairs, and it's understandable. But then over the last 4 years, at this point almost 4 years, we saw this resist movement escalating, shoved in our face on a continuous basis. And the lies and the narrative from the left. No, the resist movement started the very night that it was declared that Donald Trump was a winner. The mainstream media started doing their plotting. The Hillary campaign, once she got over her hissy fit, began to figure out, what are we going to do about this now? And the rest of them came together. And on Inauguration Day, remember the protest in the streets, trashing the streets of D.C., so upset, so angry that Donald Trump won. No one had said he was going to win. All the polls said there was no way. So he had to steal it. Here came the Russian collusion story. And now we know the only ties to the Russian collusion story were Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Party. So now, that was then. This is now. And we've seen what they did or tried in the last 4 years. Do you imagine what will happen to the nation if they get control of this election? And the other side of that, if they lose? Well, I'd rather deal with them with Trump still in the White House than with them in the White House. And last night, again, they continue to peddle the story. The biggest story they've got pushing for themselves right now, not the riot and the looting and the violence in the streets, but COVID. And it's all got to be on Donald Trump's watch that it's wrong, has not been handled correctly. Even last night, in video, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo even made a speech labeling the coronavirus, which we all know came from China, even according to China, even according to the World Health Organization, our Pentagon, all the sources. You'll hear the Dems all the time say, believe the science, but last night, Cuomo saying and suggesting it arrived from Europe. He said the White House didn't even see it coming. The European virus infected the Northeast while the White House still fixated on China. Yes, we know that it came out of Italy as well because it was in China, then it was in Italy. Remember that explosion of elderly deaths in Italy, one particular region? And yes, much of the Northeast was infected by those coming from Europe. Where those going to the West Coast, they were primarily from China direct. Well, the president did his best to shut down the China flights and then shut down all flights. And of course, again, he was accused of being xenophobic. He never had a chance to do anything right because nothing he does is going to be declared right. So last night, Michelle Obama, the featured speaker, she delivered a speech that, depending on your viewpoint, was really great or really bad or really misleading or, even as the MSNBC host said, none of us breathed for 18 minutes while she spoke. I'm not going to let you hear 18 minutes of it. I'm not going to give her that time, but here's a snippet.
I know Joe. He is a profoundly decent man guided by faith. He was a terrific vice president. He knows what it takes to rescue an economy, beat back a pandemic, and lead our country. His life is a testament to getting back up. And he is going to channel that same grit and passion to pick us all up, to help us heal and guide us forward.
It sounds so impassioned, doesn't it? I have to ask a simple fact. Joe Biden knows how to lead us in a pandemic. When did he ever lead us in a pandemic? I'm waiting for an answer. He never has. And yet she says he knows how to lead us in a pandemic. He doesn't even know which room he's in many of the times. There's no way he knows how to lead us in a pandemic. But it makes for good copy because he's not in there. He doesn't have to be held accountable. And Trump is. And I'm looking at some of these remarks that came out of CNN and NNN said Michelle Obama, the former first lady, was not just a powerful condemnation of President Donald Trump's record and handling of the pandemic. It was an appeal aimed at the heart and conscience of every American who's watched the chaos of the last 4 years and yearned to make things right. How about the events of the last 4 months, rioting in the street and so forth? How about that? In her pre-taped address, she said, if you take one thing from my words tonight, it is this. If you think things cannot possibly get worse, trust me, they can and they will. But then she adds, if we don't make a change in this election, if we have any hope of ending this chaos, we've got to vote for Joe Biden like our lives depend on it. Yeah, we do have to realize things can get worse, especially if she gets in. And again, some of the misstatements are flat-out lies she made. She used her prime-time convention speech to revive the claims that President Donald Trump's border agents threw children into cages. She said Americans watched in horror as children are torn from their families and thrown into cages. Remember all of those stories? But the fact is, those facilities being used by the Trump administration, the border guards at that time, were the ones built during the Obama-Biden administration to house children at the border. And they're not cages. They are chain-link enclosures inside border facilities to separate the children by sex and age. And that they won't go wandering off. If we're responsible for them, once they come here, we're going to make sure they're protected. And we're trying to make sure we're not putting adults with some of these kids. And who knows what would happen to those children at that point. But they love pushing that story. That thing has already been dismissed so many times, and yet they're still going to try to revive it. And I'm looking at comments even from Fox News anchor Chris Wallace. He praised her speech. Fox News anchor Chris Wallace said her speech was a main contribution of the Biden campaign. She really flayed, sliced, and diced Donald Trump. Talk about the chaos and confusion and lack of empathy, especially coming from this president and the White House. Spoke more about the deficits of Donald Trump than the pluses of Joe Biden. This was a very effective speech. So says Chris Wallace of Fox News. And I already told you the MSNBC guest. They absolutely, Rachel Maddow and her co-host Nicole Wallace and Joy Reid said, we were goofballs joking all night, and then we kind of make them hand gestures back and forth. But when Michelle Obama appeared on the screen, when she appeared on the screen, we stopped everything. It was riveting. We could hardly breathe for 18 minutes. They are trying to hold the Democrats they've got in place. And they know the riots in the streets are working against it. They know that. But they're trying to ignore it because if we don't mention it, it didn't happen, right? But the Democrats, many of them have already decided, I see what's going on. I see where you're trying to go with the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris ticket. Leo Terrell is a former ACLU lawyer, an attorney, Democrat, all of his life, except for he's now announced as of July, he will vote for Donald Trump. He says the party left me. I didn't leave them. The party left me.
Before I endorse President Trump, I said if Kamala Harris is selected, I'm voting Republican. And she got selected. I want to be very clear to the American public. Kamala Harris was selected for two reasons. Because she's a woman and because of her race. That's called affirmative action. She's not qualified to be a vice president. She's not qualified to be one heartbeat away from the highest office in the land. This woman has gone so far left. I want people to understand this. If you like your health care, she wants to take it away. She believes in socialized medicine. She has no principles or no scruples.
The words of Leo Terrell, who also appears on Fox News, he says, I'm normally seen as an ardent Democrat, but I've now joined the Trump team, and because of her, and she got on the ticket. And listen to his next statement.
She called Joe Biden a racist. That is what she is correct about. But she shot down President Trump and Tim Scott's proposal for justice reform. She shot that down simply because it came from the Republicans. We have to save this country. And I agree with you, Sean. This election is very important. We want to preserve American institutions, or do we want our institutions destroyed by extremists Biden and Harris? I say let's keep Trump in office.
I agree, of course. Michelle Obama has a different viewpoint, but there was something else she did in her speech last night that absolutely upset some people. There may be a legitimate explanation for it, or then again, maybe it was intended. Let's take a break. We come back. I'll pick that up with you.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So what Michelle Obama did not do last night, some are saying, did she purposely not want to mention that? Or did it happen in a way that she couldn't mention it? Not one time did she mention Kamala Harris as VP for Biden. The first either African-American woman or Asian-American woman or black woman, however Kamala wants to classify herself now. The first of all of those, and Michelle didn't even mention it. Now, the fact is, her event, her remarks obviously pre-taped. And I guess they were taped so far in advance because Biden kept holding off and not naming who was going to be his VP that they didn't change it. They didn't add to it. They certainly could have gone back and redone it, but I'm sure Michelle said, no, I'm good. And that's what I want to point out to you. I have no doubt that she probably taped it before Harris was selected. And she wanted to put all her capital on backing Joe Biden, which is pretty good because Obama has been quoted recently by sources that he says, oh, Joe can still F this up. I mean, really. So maybe she felt I need to make sure we focus on Biden. But I also believe they had plenty of time to actually have her redo the whole thing. But she probably said, no, I don't think so. I'm good. That should be another endorsement of her belief in this ticket anyway. But celebrities, oh, they love it. They just falling all over each other. Rosie O'Donnell, of course, one of the main critics of Trump, just saying this is just great. It's beautiful. Miss America star Uzo Aduba, I guess that's her title or name. Excellent, showing off all of America and her true greatness. Actress Yvette Nicole Brown, I love the opening of the DNC. Going on to talk about old Rob Reiner referencing the opening of the convention with the national anthem. And he said, listen to this, Rob Reiner, watching the singing of our national anthem gave me chills. So proud to see the real America. So proud to be a Democrat. Well, he's never expressed that before when our pro players take a knee during the national anthem. He has kept his mouth shut But now, oh, no, I love the national anthem. I love my U.S. flag. I love the national anthem. I love my country and what it stands for. And yet, encouraging more rioting in the streets, or at least not condemning it. What hypocrites. Do they think we just don't see? You know where Donald Trump was last night? He was in Minneapolis meeting with business owners who had their businesses destroyed by the riots in the wake of the George Floyd case. And he also took time to criticize Kamala Harris for asking for donations to help bail out the rioters who had been arrested for looting and destroying those same businesses. Oh, and last night, another night of violence in Portland. While the DNC convention was underway in Portland, 80-plus nights of rioting, this time attacking the Portland Police Association office. And not one word, not one word from the Democrats in their convention last night, as if there is no chaos except in the White House. As I said, before I wrap up this 2 hours, I've got something to say about last night that's probably going to upset some folks, but I just don't care. We'll get to that a little bit later. We'll take a break and we'll come back. The Federalist Senior Editor.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, we're in the process still trying to establish contact with my guest for this segment. I tell you who it is right now. We're still lining him up. Chris Bedford, we've had him on before. He's a senior editor at The Federalist, also the vice chairman of Young Americans for Freedom, a board member at the National Journalism Center, and the author of the book titled The Art of the Donald. Now, we've had him on before, and, of course, The Federalist is a conservative leaning publication and online source. I always want you to know the source. I never try to hide if some group is liberal or conservative. I want you to know. I mean, I would never try to fool you on something like that and have you think that they're not what they truly are. And, of course, last night was day one of the Democrat National Convention. And Chris wrote a great piece about this, which I want to break down in more detail with him when we get him on the air. But let me begin with one of the things he points out. And it kind of becomes apparent quickly in his opinion. And again, this is his opinion. He says the first completely digital Democratic National Convention in American history kicked off Monday night, gifting CNN and MSNBC viewers 2 hours of the Democrat message. And CNN and MSNBC and Fox viewers with all or much of the second hour. I did find that interesting, by the way. CNN did not carry the first hour, only for the second hour. But he also said it was designed to be, I'm sorry, they carried both hours. I misread that. He points out that it was designed to be part concert, part political commercial, part digital pep rally. The evening containing some easily recognized aspects of a normal rally, as well as some surprising imagery for a 2020 Democrat convention. But above all, fell flat. Coming across as both dour and canned and suffering greatly from the absence of a boisterous crowd. We need to stop right there and consider this. The Republican National Convention will be next week. It starts Monday. They're going to have to do pretty much the same thing. The question will be, is it going to be just as we saw last night in the sense that you do all this virtual stuff, you've got to do it that way because they've made a determination we can't have a normal convention would normally do because of COVID. And they're going to have to follow the same kind of game plan and try to make it work, try to be effective with it. So anything you say about the Democrats on how they failed on the production effort and how it played out, you can say about the Republicans now or you can wait for it to happen because it may well be replicated the same way. Do not get your hopes up that the Republican convention on viral media will be any better or more engaging. It might well be. But last night, the biggest star other than Barack Obama in the Democrat Party, the biggest star was Michelle Obama. They got her on last night. And it still just was dead. I did watch more than the clip that we played for you earlier. I watched it. But I got to tell you, there was no real engagement. I just didn't see any real engagement and connection with her during the process of her statement. You have to keep in mind it was pre-taped. Remarks already written out and perhaps that she also agreed with or just accepted because someone else wrote it for her. I don't know the background on how the speech was actually prepared. But despite the Hollywood elite gushing over it and the MSNBC stars saying, well, we were just holding our breath for 18 minutes. First of all, that's a lie. You know they didn't or they'd all be dead. But secondly, I didn't find any real fascination in her remarks, not any great fascination. And again, the fact that she did not mention Kamala Harris proves how long ago it was taped, and or the fact is still standing, she could have, in the time that Biden had selected Harris, she could have redone it, but apparently chose not to. All right, joining us now, we finally got him on the line now, Christopher Bedford, senior editor of The Federalist. Christopher, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I was giving them a preview of your piece on day one of the digital DNC, and I jumped right to one of your points that the outreach falls flat. What did surprise you about that? I would tell you right now, the fact that you actually had a Christian prayer from a pastor and the word and the name of Jesus invoked on that stage last night, and saluting, basically, and honoring our flag and our national anthem. Go ahead.
I was surprised immediately, just like you were. It seemed like we were in a time warp. I mean, in previous years, in the past, a while ago now, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party neither shied from the founders, shied from the flag, shied from the Pledge of Allegiance or the national anthem or for Christian prayer. But we're now years since the word God, the name of God, was actively booed at a Democratic convention when the chairman had to override the voice vote to keep God on the platform. We're years past that. The entire Democratic, not the entire Democratic Party, but a lot of its leaders and a lot of its media elites have been pushing very strongly in an atheist direction, in a direction that calls Christians oppressors, in a direction that excludes white people, in a direction that even doesn't have a lot of room for Martin Luther King and his idea of colorblindness, and in the direction that certainly doesn't have room for Francis Scott Key and the national anthem. So to see them wrap themselves in the flag so closely, well, at one level was possibly hopeful. On another level, came across as very unlikely, given how the leaders have been and how the media has been. It seems like much of the night was outreach to conservative Democrats outreach to disaffected Republicans, which polls show there are not a lot of, and trying to bring them in. But in the end, the evening fell flat because it wasn't a political convention. It was more of a Facebook conference call, and it was gloomy. And in the end of the day, their big star, John Kasich, nobody follows John Kasich in the Republican Party. He didn't get a single governor's endorsement.
No, you're right. And the thing he said that stood out for me, he said he was appealing again to Republicans to cross back over and saying, you know, Joe Biden is not going to be pushed around. Joe Biden will be his own man. Right. Yeah, I buy that.
And to your point on Michelle Obama, that shows you exactly how much Joe Biden will be pushed around. The Obamas run that party. Joe Biden isn't even in the running seat, it seems like, of his campaign. You can look at the platform and see how many people have obviously had their hand in it. Michelle Obama recorded this, we can estimate, about 3 weeks ago, given how she said that there are 150,000 deaths from COVID. We've had about 20,000 in the last 3 weeks. We're up to 170 now. She couldn't be bothered to re-record this.
That's
for what
exactly.
The
exactly.
Democrats are insisting.
Exactly.
This is an historic thing.
Yeah, yeah. The first black woman, African-American, Asian-American, however you want to classify it, and she would not go back in the studio and do it again. Now, one thing you did point out, by the way, you were saying that if you had a drinking game, you could be drunk. And that was referenced what? As old Jumbotrons.
I pulled up the piece last night because I finished it at 2 in the morning.
No, did you?
Were
you drinking
it?
I remember.
I was not drinking last night, fortunately.
You were talking about when they showed the field of grain all the time, that they kept trying to show they were middle America.
It was, at Democratic conventions and Republican conventions, exactly, you can count on that B-roll footage of fields of grain and young girls walking their hands through it and tractors moving and men working. And that's just the classic B-roll American stuff, even if it's got nothing to do with the actual candidates. It often does not. But what was interesting about last night was instead of the stage with the cheering crowds, you had the politicians filming these weird amateur music videos, it seems like, from different aspects of America. So you had John Kasich standing in a field of grain like he was in a Sting video with the drone footage coming up above him, trying to give this uplifting speech in the middle of the day. I mean, the sun had already set. It was a strange thing. And it makes me wonder, in some levels, what could the content have done to make this better? Because without a roaring convention, you don't have a convention.
Well, now, the Republicans are going to face the same thing starting next Monday. I mean, they can learn a little bit in this short period of time, but they're pretty well locked into having to do the same kind of presentation.
It seems like that. I was talking with some friends last night about what the Republicans might want to learn from this, and the only thing that we could really come away from is to have the Republican convention simply be Donald Trump giving a speech. Some kind of rally outside somewhere, because you can't get 4 days of convention coverage, it seems like, so far. Even the Democrats had months to work on this with Hollywood talent at their fingertips. You can't get 4 days of interesting content, 8 hours of content, without a convention, without intrigue, without cheering and booing and jeering. It's just completely lacking.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I appreciate it. I'm glad we got you on the air finally and got you on board. Again, this is Christopher Bedford, senior editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Art of the Donald. We'll go back to you after the Republican convention kicks off and get your view on that as well.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, and what he also pointed out is that how are you going to hold the interest? And the same things, the Republicans are going to have to deal with the same issue. Don't think it's going to be any different. And, of course, it's all in the eye of the beholder, right? And if you already have your mind made up of who you like and don't like, then you're going to basically be prejudiced at that point. Coming up, the story that the media has ignored and one they just won't pay attention to. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Don't
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The other day in news and commentary, I read a story, and if you heard me read it, you knew I was disgusted and saddened at the same time, and you probably had the same reaction. The story was a five-year-old boy outside playing with his sisters, 7 and 8, just riding his bike in North Carolina, and a man walks up, puts a pistol to his head, and shoots the boy. Shoots him in the head. No provocation. Just walks over, fires a bullet into the boy's brain, killing him. I did not know at that time, and I didn't really care if the boy is white, black, yellow, brown. It made no difference. It's a child murdered in the street while he was doing nothing but riding his bicycle around. I also didn't know if the shooter was black, white, yellow, or green. Again, that made no difference to me. It was a horrific crime. We know we've had numerous shootings in urban areas, particularly in some of the minority communities where children are shot down, caught in a gang shootout or something, or an accident firing at someone else, and they end up killing a child. And all of those are horrific and need to be dealt with. And again, it makes no difference the race of the child, nor does it make a difference on the race of the shooter. But the mainstream media has a different take on that. Let me explain this to you. I'll come back to the story about the boy in just a moment. You probably have seen, we started to put it up and I never got around to it, this mob of Portland rioters forcing a white man to crash his pickup, pulling him out, knocking him unconscious. He's on the ground. He'd already tried to stop him. These Black Lives Matter and Antifa people attacking a woman and hitting her, and he's trying to get them away from her, and they later tackle and shove her down on the pavement. And now he's trying to get out of the area entirely, and then he crashes a vehicle because he's trying to avoid people, and then they yank him out of the pickup. Some in the group are saying he didn't do anything, don't do that. But the mob has already got its mentality set, and they grab him, and they repeatedly punch him as he begs for help. Then he's on the ground. He said, I wasn't trying to hurt anyone. I'm just trying to get away. And they start calling him the N-word. And he's a white guy. And most of the attackers were not white. But they're calling him the N-word. And then, while he's sitting there dazed already, one of them comes over, one wearing a security shirt, marked security on his shirt, delivers a foot right to the guy's head, knocks him out totally. He's still in the hospital. No doubt it probably has a concussion and other injuries as well. If that had happened, I'm going to point this out right now. And again, this should make no difference on race. It's a crime itself. But if a white mob had done that to a black man, you know it would be all over the mainstream media. And rightly so. I would not have a problem with them doing that. But this story is being ignored by mainstream media. They just don't want to deal with it. So to go back to this child shot to death in North Carolina the other day, the five-year-old. As I said, I didn't really care at the time I read it. I didn't know and didn't care the race of the child or the race of the shooter. If that's what you're going to look for every time there's a crime, well, was the victim white or black, or were the shooter or the culprit white or black, you got the wrong mindset. You got to look at the issue as the crime. As it turns out, the boy shot to death in North Carolina was a white boy. The man who shot him, and of course he's charged at this time, he's not convicted, but is a black man who lived next door. Several say they saw him do it, including the sisters. And the boy's father came out and saw the man standing there with a pistol in his hand. And it matched ballistics. The mother of the boy says, the guy was over at the house the other night having dinner with us. We don't know what set him off. And the father said, there wasn't anything between him and me. No bad blood. I don't know why he did it. And they're now asking for the death penalty for the guy, and rightly so. But again, mainstream media not giving this oxygen. You reverse the situation again. You put a five-year-old black child or a minority child of any color on a bicycle, and a white man walks up with a pistol and executes him, it would get major coverage. And it should, as this should. But this damn attitude of, well, it doesn't fit our narrative, and, you know, we can excuse it. You cannot excuse the death of a five-year-old. I don't care what color the child is, nor the shooter. But that's what they want to do. God almighty, we're never going to get this nation better. We're going to take the attitude, well, the child, if he wasn't a black kid, so we can ignore it. The hell we can. All right, the next hour, I've got something else to say about the convention last night that I told you that it is going to make some people angry, I'm sure. But I don't care. All right, I'm going to need to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll begin with news and commentary and get into the second hour. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.